Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello everybody, welcome to another edition. I'm glad you're here, thank you for keep coming back, really do appreciate it. Busy, getting busy, gigs are happening, it's all happening, everything's happening, it's all good. Before we get on with it, and before I tell you what's been happening, we get your membrane tees and hoodies. If you haven't already, you should have done that already. Those lovely lads at SOS Clothing, they take care of our merch, and not only do they do that, they have a wonderful range of garments themselves. So if you go to their website, sosclothing.co.uk/membrane, if you use the promo code membrane, it's one word, you will get 15% off, not just of our merch, our tees and hoodies, but you'll get that off across the store. What's not to love? 15% off. Come on. They're good lads doing good things. It's ethically sourced. It's vegan friendly. What's not to love? Hey, they're good lads, Mark and Stacey. Thank you for doing that, boys. We've got some news coming up about that as well, but that'll be later on. Coming up, we've got some more merch things coming up, so we'll let you know about that in due course. Also, don't forget to get your limited edition Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from WoganCoffee.com in Bristol. Use the exclusive membrane listener promo code membrane, that's one word, and you'll get 10% off our podcast packs. We have one in the studio. Producer Paul has got one, and we are looking very cool. You should get on that. So if you go to wogancoffee.com, use the exclusive promo code membrane, that's one word, you'll get 10% off of our podcast packs. And if you get one, can you send me a picture, please? I want to see you with it, and we'll stick it up on the website. So do that for us, that would be first class. Also, don't forget to check the episode notes each week for links to our guests, our merch, and our new YouTube channel, where you can see me in action in the studio and occasionally the back of producer Paul's head. I mean, what's not to love about that, eh? We've got a YouTube channel, we've been videoing these, so go to that, check the links in the episode notes. It's all there for you, all the links, because producer Paul is brilliant at what he does, because if this was just left to me, it wouldn't reach your ears. I've got to be honest, it wouldn't be anywhere near you. You wouldn't even know it existed. Just be me screaming into a laptop. So well done, producer Paul, for making this actually get out there into the airwaves. Thank you very much. I'm getting out there. I'm gigging. Things are happening. I'm all over the place, actually. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be. Where am I going to be? Because last week, I would have been in the backyard. This coming week, I am going to be supporting, next week I'm going to be supporting Clinton Baptiste from Phoenix Knights, the clairvoyant, I'm getting the word, it's him. So I'm going to be in St Helens on the 24th, supporting Clinton. I'm going to be also in Ilkley, up near Leeds, on the 25th. And then I'm going to be loads of places. I've got a website with all this on, actually, so you should check that, richwilsoncomedy.com. Was it richwilsoncomedian.com? Either one of them, put them in and find me, and all my gig dates will be up there, so come and do that. So I'm around and about the place. Come and see me, come and say hello. Right, let's get on with it, shall we? Shall we get on with it? I think so, because this week my guest is Ashish Suri. Now, I met Ashish, I met him at a gig in, where was it? I think we talked about it in the episode, actually, where we first met. It was Little Smash, that was it, down in Southend. And we got on famously straight away. He's a top dude, brilliant comedian. He's got a really interesting background, so I was really keen to get him on to have a chat. I'm always keen to talk to people from other places because, you know, especially places I've never been. So he's from Delhi in India, and I've never been. I don't know much about the place. All I know are the stereotypical things that people tell me about. So it's interesting to have a chat to someone who's actually from there. And that's the thing about comedy. We talk about it in the episode. It's such a great chat because, you know, realizing how lucky I am to know people now from all around the world through comedy. It's a wonderful position to be in. It's something that I forget sometimes when I'm having a bit of a moan and I'm sat on a train and I'm coming back from somewhere and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I'm not going to get home until 2 a.m. Like, yeah, well, you know, could be worse. Could always be worse. You know, you're a very lucky man, Richie. So don't forget that. So Ashish came on. We had a brilliant chat. So coming up in a bit is Ashish Suri.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
How are you, man? You good?
I'm good, so how are you?
I'm good. This is how we
Thank
start.
Thank you so much for this.
Ah, dude, I've been meaning to get on phrases.
But
here we are. Here we are, because big fan of your work. Yeah, very funny, man. And I just want to find out more about you. I want to find out your back, because there's science involved somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure I heard that.
Unfortunately, at some points, yes.
What science is it? What, are you an actual scientist?
Yeah, so I've got a dual core engineering degree. I'm an electrical engineer and I'm also an electronics engineer.
Are you really?
Yeah, and that's why I left the country. I was just too intense, just full of us.
Everyone's got to say, yeah, to a penny, whatever.
Basically, because my mom and dad are both engineers. So okay. One of them is electrical, but my dad's an electrical engineer, my mom's an electronics engineer. So when I was growing up, I was like, I guess I want to do both.
Right. Yeah, but this is the thing, like in this country, when they talk about, like, where are you from originally?
Oh, I'm from India. Grew up in Delhi. My family is from the north of India.
Yeah. This is what annoys me about certain people in this country, certain people. And the way they talk about India is so derogatory and so, and you're like, yeah, well, you haven't got a fucking engineering degree. So what are you talking about? Like, I've seen this before when I've been elsewhere, other countries, and I've been with people that are rude to the wait staff. And the wait staff are chatting away and they're like, their English isn't their first language. And these people are really fucking rude. I'm like, hang on a minute. This person here speaks, as far as we know, we already know they speak more than one language. You don't even speak English properly. So how the fuck are you being such a dickhead? But to these people, it blows my mind. You know?
I'll be honest with you. If somebody doesn't talk to me in proper English, I'm just like, fuck off.
I'm going to go then.
I'm messing. I get that. It's kind of the... It's, but I I think it's like a cultural thing. Because like in India, there's it's at certain places, well, a lot of places, there's a certain amount of bias as well.
Okay.
So it's not like it's like a one-sided thing. It's just, you know, like we grow up, our history lessons are basically how we got colonized for 200 years.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like this repressed kind of like annoyance as well. That's why even you'd see people who'd be like third generation Indians, you know, their grandparents or their parents, second generation, their parents were from India and they grew up over here. They'd still support India in cricket.
This is the thing, cause like you just said, because I was brought up to be taught that the British were the kings of everything. You know, we just ruled everything. We went around and we were just helping everybody. Because up until then, you know, you had nothing. Everyone elsewhere had nothing. It was us Brits that brought you everything. And you're like, but now you do like proper research and proper, you hear the real stories. You go, oh, fuck, no. We were just running around stealing.
Nobody can deny it. Like, the British were good at management.
Very good at PR.
Yeah, you can hit. Like, people are like, oh, how did they manage to do it? I was like, they did, and you have to accept it. It wasn't good for the world, no, but...
No. Considering we're such a shitty... Not a shitty, there are good... There's good bits. There's good bits to this, but... considering we're such a tiny place, we have done a lot of damage.
I remember some of this because when I was growing up, I was a geek. I didn't have a girlfriend till I was like 24. That's like what, 7 years ago. So I used to read a lot of books, and I remember one of our course books, history course books. So what they do in India is like you study history in school as a general subject for like 6 years.
Mm.
So maybe year six or year five, you start studying it and they split it out. So one's like early history, which is, you know, cavemen, you learn how fire was discovered and stuff like that. Then there's medieval history about kings and queens and whatnot. And then you have modern history, which is basically colonialism and everything. And when we started studying like modern history, there was a bit where it said, over the course of like the next few chapters or stuff like that, we're going to understand how an island country, like, you know, the Great Britain, managed to conquer more than half the world. Those were the exact words.
Wow.
And it's something to like, yes, there's goods and like they're mostly bad bits, but it's still like something to learn from, like how did that happen?
Yeah. When you think back, and this is what people, I've noticed this recently, this is what, hang on, my Siri on my phone's decided to, not now. Sorry about that.
This is literally why I have an Android, because my last name is Suri. Every time somebody says that, just gets screamed.
Just phone's going off everywhere. What That's now?
Every single time.
So what, but this is, so I guess people I know now, like family members that, have been stood in front of me going, ah, this country, we used to be great. You know, we went around, people feared us. You know, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. Why do you want that? And so that's what people are harking back to now.
Yeah.
Your relatives sort of, you know, they were more, you know, they sort of bore the brunt of it. You know, so that must have been tricky to deal with.
It was weird because, like, my dad's family's from Pakistan.
Mm.
So when there was this whole partition thing happening, when India and Pakistan split up, so my granddad, like, basically my dad's whole family had to like emigrate to India.
Mm.
And when I used to have these conversations with him, he was really, you know, passionate about it because he was a part of the actual, you know, the freedom struggle and everything. He used to tell us stories about how they were like two of his cousins. They were twins. I laugh at it. It's probably pretty serious. But one of them was the more notorious one. So he used to mess up with like the British and they'd be protesting and he'd be like stoned, you know, like brindos and everything. And the nice twin used to get arrested.
Oh, shit. I suppose it's easy to get him. They couldn't understand why he was walking around so casual.
I was like, they didn't know. There was a point where I thought, like, Maybe he didn't realize they were being racist and they just weren't twins. Well, that was actually the thing. And I used to have these conversations with him, and it was like the kind of stories he used to tell me, they were pretty intense. Mm. Like, I remember it was the whole religion thing, right? Because I think at some point Pakistan declared themselves as like, they had a state religion. Like, you know, Christianity is the state religion in a lot of European countries.
Yeah.
So a lot of Hindus like emigrated to India because India at that point was secular. And what they were doing was apparently they didn't have any supplies. So nothing to eat, nothing to drink or anything. And most of the supplies they would get on the route were being poisoned. So they were told, just don't eat, you know, any apples or oranges.
Oh, my God.
So they did like a day's worth of train journey or 2 days worth of train journey, like starving themselves just to be able to make it out alive. And it's just, you heard these stories and it was like, wow. And I'm there like eating like, you know, chicken kebabs. Like, oh, that's
so oh, that's terrible.
Why did you do that? Do you want some?
This is the thing that I still find, even this morning, I find myself a bit, literally just before we did this, I was moaning. But I'm like, ah. Oh, the fuck, you know, trains and travelling I have to do. And then you hear a story like that, you go, no, I'm all right, actually. There was a vending, vending machine.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's a learning experience. So, you know, you pick up these things. The most the most troublesome bit was when I first came to India. Look, I first came to London and I was travelling back to India for the first time. I'd started dating someone. She was Irish and coincidentally white as well. And the first time I went back, it was a little bit tricky to have this conversation with my granddad because he's like, did you manage to find someone? I was like, well, I think so. And he was like, is she white? I was like, yeah. I was like, those British. I was like, no, she's Irish. He's like, no, they're all white. I was like, nah, you're being racist now. How do I explain this to you? This is not how we did it.
Yeah. Imagine if they had a conversation, she'd probably say the same about the British.
I think that's how we fell in love. It was. I'd like to think she fell in love with my personality.
Of course, it's a wonderful personality, Ashish. That's why we're friends, mate. That's why we're friends. So you're... Go on.
No, I was just going to fanboy at you, so that's why.
You're going to say what?
I was just going to be, like, fanboying at you. I've told you the story. Like, you know, we started this conversation, and you were like, oh, I'm a big fan of your comedy. And in my head, I was like, well, you're one of the reasons why I started doing it.
Oh, mate.
It's always like... Do you remember the first time we met? I think it was at Little Smash at the Alex.
Yes.
And you were sitting in the audience. I was like, oh my God, is that Rich Wilson?
Oh, mate. Oh, bless you. That was a good night, that.
Oh, I still have it on. Like, I recorded the whole thing.
That's a good gig. I like that gig.
It's a lovely gig. I'm doing it this evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's not at the Alex, but I'm doing it at a new venue. It's called The Seafront in Southend.
Nice. Are you with Marcus Bergman?
Yes. I'm really excited about that one.
He's a top dude. You'll enjoy it. That'll be another great night. So you studied to be a scientist, and then you went, fuck that, I'm going to be a comedian.
No, there was like another degree between that.
Okay. What was the next one?
I was, it was like an IT MBA thing, like a business information systems thing. That's how I ended up in London. I came here for my master's. And then I did that. And then by the time I graduated, I managed to get a job. So I was like, oh my God, I can make money. So I stayed back. And then I started dating the lady. And we were together for some time. And then there was a breakup. And that's basically... It was acrimonious in the sense, like, it wasn't a bad breakup, but me being like, I was in a different country. My friend circle, my support circle was completely different to what I grew up with. So I kind of spiraled down into like this weird depression, alcoholism, like the usual stuff.
Right. You
know? Yeah. And I started to come out of it. That's when I started going to Up the Creek and started watching comedy. And like I said, you were one of the two people that I used to go to Up the Creek just to watch. It was you and Daniel Kitson. You guys used to, I think, the resident MCs at the point.
Yeah, we do it quite a bit. Oh, mate. That's the one and only time I'll be in the same bracket as Kitson, let me tell you that. I think I'm
you guys are, to me, you both are equally amazing. I just, that's how it goes in my head.
Thank you.
And then I started dating someone else. And when we broke up, that was like the turning point.
Right.
Where I was like, yeah, I need to get my shit together.
Mm.
And I've always wanted to do comedy. So I just Googled open mic nights, found one. I went down to watch how it goes. And then the next week I booked a spot. It was at this place called the Lion's Den. It's still going.
I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically what kicked it off. No. And then one gig a week. And then people are like, you should do more than two gigs a week. And then, you know, you get addicted and it's like, do I do cocaine? Do I do comedy? Comedy's cheap.
It's much cheaper. Well, it used to be. Train fares now. Might be you just get a really big coke habit and just do videos from my room.
That is the dream. That is the dream.
But what I find amazing, and I did a gig the other week, and everybody that was on, I think 90% of the acts were from another country. And I was watching and I was just like, not only are these people doing comedy, but they're doing it in a second language. And I find it mind-blowing that, you know, that people can do that. It's, yeah. I mean, and I don't mean that in a patronising way. I just mean, how do you find it? Because the nuances and the is it just the same?
They're differences. There are differences. And it's, language is basically one big thing. But then also, like, where you do it. Like, I can do comedy in English in India. Right. But it's going to be different. Like, the jokes are going to be different and, you know, everything. And then it's not even just, like, we talk about different things. But it's, like, how you say it. Because the one thing I realized, which is, I think it's, I'm just an idiot. I picked it up late. But it's like, what word you actually use to, you know, describe something or like what you're trying to say. But then when I'm doing comedy in the UK, it's like the slang is different. The local slangs are different.
Yeah.
So you have to understand this. It's like, I still am not comfortable using the word mate.
You know? Really?
I'll be like, I still use dude.
Dude works. I like dude.
So it's like, it's more like, it rolls off the tongue easily for me. But like things like those, like, because I grew up watching a lot of American sitcoms. So it's like, bucks was the one thing. It's like, oh no, we have to say quid. So things like those. So just knowing the English language isn't enough. Like being able to pick the local slangs and everything.
Yeah.
But it's good though. It makes at least in my, when I'm on stage or when I'm trying to do comedy, I'm more aware of, you know, what comes out of my mouth.
Right.
I'd like to think most of the times.
Yeah. I think more people should be more like that. Are the rhythms the same? Do you know what I mean? Because I remember seeing, I went to a Polish comedy night and I didn't understand what they were saying because it was all in Polish, but the rhythm was the same. So it was like da 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 da, a big laugh, and then a tag on the end, da 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 da, another laugh. So is it a similar thing?
Yes. I mean, I've not done, so English is like my third language. So I speak Hindi and I speak Punjabi and English. And I've not done much comedy because I started doing comedy in London.
Okay,
so
right.
I've done a handful of gigs in India, but it's always been like a mix of Hindi and English.
Right.
But when I do watch like Indian comedians, yes, there is. Like, because I only started noticing it after a while, but yes, there is a rhythm. Like you can pick the beats up.
Mm.
And it's not even with the joke structure, but you're like, the punch is coming.
Yeah.
You know, or not even the punch, the laugh is coming.
Right.
And you can even see it on the performer's face. It's like, yeah, they knew about it. So it's I mean, people use the word rhythm and beat and everything, but it is literally like music.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it doesn't matter what language you're singing in. It does. I'm kind of fucking up the music nuance. This guy comes in. Oh, but it's similar.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought, because you could, like I say, yeah, I didn't understand what they were saying, but I could hear what was happening, the build up to it, and then the punchline, and then the tag afterwards, on top of the punchline. I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
But are you you know, like, it's again, I'll take the music analogy. It's bad, but I'll go with it. It's like, you know, when you listen to music, like a song in like a different language, like a lot of, you know, the Spanish or like even French songs, you're able to pick the emotion up. I when you watch comedy in a different language, are you able to like pick the energy up? Like when you're watching and listening?
The energy, yes. Even because I found myself smiling, even though I didn't know what was being said.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, oh, I imagine that was really funny. And then there's the odd word that you do know. You kind of go, oh, right, that's, oh, okay, all right, I see what they're talking about. Or you'll be with somebody and they'll go, oh, it's a joke about this, this, and this. And you go, okay. So, and I think it was just fascinating to see. I love languages. I just wish I could speak more than one. I just could never pick it up. I could never do it. I don't know.
I mean, English is pretty good as well. It's like, that's why I left the country. I was like, couldn't speak the other two. I was like, English, I can.
Oh, really? they're hard work. I'm just going to do this one.
There's too many alphabets. I'm happy with 26.
There's so many alphabets.
It's like.
But over here, now, we're now in the middle of a huge wave of talking about mental health. People are a bit more aware of taking care of their mental health.
Yeah,
and which is a good thing. It's, you know, absolutely, because, you know, there's been generation after generation of people that, especially men, well, you know, men and women, I'm not all genders, that haven't really discussed it before, not on this level. And I'm just, do you know, is it the same back in Delhi? Are they having this similar conversations, or is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's opening up now, but like. I like to think that I'm a part of the transition generation.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a part of the generation that grew up with landline telephones. Then we saw the mobile phones.
Right.
And now that I'm an adult, I see the smartphone. So I've seen that transition, and I think that is a culture wide thing. So it applies to a lot of other things outside of technology as well, and like mental health is a big thing. Like when I was growing up, I don't think people talked openly about, you know, having therapy or going to a therapist.
No.
And even the term therapist didn't exist. You know, there'd be like psychologists. And if somebody went ahead and be like, oh, I'm going to the psychologist, they'd be like, oh, you're going for psychotherapy. It was a taboo kind of thing. It's like, oh, this guy goes to a psychologist, like,
yeah, there was an assumption that there was something something wrong.
Yeah,
where you're just trying to, sometimes you just need to recalibrate.
I'm kind of happy about it, because that just means that, you know, as society we are evolving, and it's a global thing, not just a cultural thing. Where, because I'm not a fan of, you know, I don't like stereotypes.
No.
But sometimes some stereotypes, you can understand where they come from and how they get perpetuated.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Delhi, and it's like one of the six metropolitan cities now, which is, so Delhi, pretty much, we'd catch up on all the global trends. Like, if something was cool in London, we'd probably get it in like 2 or 3 years and it'll be there. But then when people talk about, oh, India is like so rural and, you know, the village people and everything, I don't like that, because that's not something I grew up with.
No.
But I do know that outside of that bubble of Delhi, or like, you know, the, like, you have London and Greater London, so we have National Capital Region. Outside of that, those things do exist.
Yeah.
And they need to be discussed about. It just hurts. But now, like, it is becoming a good thing. It is becoming a big thing that people are more open to, you know, discuss, and more averse to be like, yeah, maybe you're not the crazy one, and, you know, there is something that people can do to help you.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think we're now coming away from that assumption that there has to be something drastically wrong with you. Whereas, like we said, it's just a case of, I don't feel right. I need to talk to someone to help me feel better. And I think, because I think
everybody, this is what I've learned from being lucky enough to have travelled around a lot. And I've said this before on here, people are fundamentally the same. Different cultures, different ethnicities, but on a fundamental level, we're all pretty much the same.
Yes, I agree. Completely agree. Yeah. I mean, I always my family is from the north of India. So there's like my summer vacations, basically, I used to spend 2 to 3 months up at my grandparents' place every year. My mom and I were just like, stay away from us. We've had too much of you. And so there was an element of like me growing up in the north as well. And I'm going to say this now, people from the north are batshit crazy. And I'm not saying north of England, north of India, any part of the world. If you come from the north of any place in the world, you're fucking mental.
Apologies to our northern listeners.
No. I mean in a good way. I put myself in that category. Because like the first time I went to Manchester, one of my mates, he was staying in Macclesfield.
Yeah.
And I went there and I was like, you do the comparisons. People up north in India love their chicken. Oh, people up north in this country love their chicken. People up north in India love their rum and whiskey. Manchester, like, we're literally the same people. We just like, you know, one side, we just have a different tan.
Do you think there's something about, maybe, yeah, the people from the north do seem to have they seem to be more chilled out as well.
Yeah.
And more open, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm dealing with stereotypes again, but they do seem more chilled out and more open to things rather than kind of down south seems a bit more tight and a bit more closed in, maybe.
Yeah, it's the same. Like in India, if you go down, like one of the southern states, Kerala, well, three of the main southern states, one of them has the highest literacy rate, like 93%. Wow. When I checked the last time. Like, they're all educated. Yeah. It's just like, and they are a bit uptight, like, but it's back to what you just like, what you were asking. I was like, yeah, I think it's people around the world are just the same. It's just nuances and differences in culture and everything that we grow up with. But you know, if I am to go to like, if you go to North India, if you go to India and people are like, oh, where's the place where I can find the most loud and lovely bunch of people who just get drunk and start hugging everyone? People are like, just go to the north.
Yeah,
which,
right.
I think it's the same over here. It's just like, when I was in Macclesfield, the very first trip, me and my mate, it was just the two of us. So it was just like, we watched the Man U game. This was fucking, oh man, this was so far back. I think 2014.
Wow.
And we watched the Man U game and it's like, do you want to? It's like, yeah, of course I want to get drunk. And then we went in there and we were ordering at the bar and there were a couple of guys and they just looked at us and they're like, you're not from here. And we're like, ah, we're going to get beaten up. And they're like, oh, we got tourists, come on in. And they just asked us to join their table. And then we're getting drunk with this random group of people. And they were the most amazing bunch. They were buying us, you know, shots. And every time we went, it's like, no, you're our guest.
I was
like,
what?
It's amazing.
Which is how it should be.
It's the same.
Yeah, it is the same, isn't it?
Yeah, and you go to India, that's the same. I remember, so in India, we share border with Pakistan, right? So there's this ceremony near one of the gates where it's happens every day and you find people. And I remember there was this one, I was there with my mates and we made friends and we made a couple of friends from Pakistan. And they were like, if you ever come over, they just gave their number, their address. Wow. Like, you have to stay at my place. I was like, dude, I just met you 5 minutes ago. And they're like, nah, you're one of us. Like, you have to come. And it's like, this is.
I remember one of my first ever friends when I was growing up, Arahan Danji. And Arahan Danji was from Pakistan.
Yeah.
And he and I used to swap our sandwiches. So he would have my horrible 1970s white bread, mild cheese, margarine, sweaty awfulness. And I would have his spicy meat sandwiches. And I'd never tasted anything like it in my life. It was incredible. And he used to love mine. He's like, oh, these are amazing. I don't taste of anything.
Do you want to believe, like, a cheese toast in India is like a delicacy. Like, you only have it on special occasions, I'm just saying.
Birthdays and other holidays. Yeah.
It's amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like comedy as well. Because it got me out of a dark place, but I've met so many amazing people.
Mm.
Like, I had a chance to talk to Tez Ilyas.
Yeah, right.
He was doing his Cameron Crenshaw show, and he was there, and I was like, after the show, he was just sitting, and he's such a nice guy. He just, you know, chills. Like, people come down to see him, and he'll be like, okay, if you want to talk, I'll talk. And so his family is from Pakistan, and we were talking, and turns out, like, his family and my dad's family, basically, are from the same place. We were just trying to figure out which village it was. That's the beauty of comedy. It's just like, I've met so many amazing people that, you know, I don't think, like, this conversation,
yeah,
you know, it's this, like, even outside of comedy, we've been on a train ride or two.
We've
talked about music.
Well, that's it. I've met, I knew Arahan when I was a kid, but very rarely did I meet anyone that was from elsewhere, from other places. And through comedy, I've got friends in all manner of places now, all over the world. And that's all through making people laugh. And that's what...
Yeah.
So now, I'm just saying it now, I'm like, I was moaning this morning, like, well, fuck. But now I'm like, yeah, listen to yourself, you fucking privileged dickhead. You've got friends all around the world. You've travelled, you've done things, you're having this conversation now. You fucking sort yourself out, knobhead.
No, you're like, I'll say this now. If I'm in a room full of comedians and if I say the name Rich Wilson, two things, right? Not once have I ever heard a bad thing. And every time I say your name, there's always a smile on people's face.
Oh, man.
Like, that's the kind of reputation you're working with.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
It's just like, I was doing this gig the other day. So it was Kate Checker, Kate McGann, and the two, Pete Wilson. Like, it was just like a gig.
Yeah.
And we were just discussing the recent gigs we'd done. And I think Kate McGann was like, oh, I just gigged with the Rich Wilson the other day and he fucking smashed it. Mm-hmm. And I shit you not, Kate Checker and I, it was just like, oh, I fucking love Rich Wilson.
Oh, that's nice, man. Well, let me blush, man. Let's get back to the dish. But you were talking about earlier about drinking. And... was that, I mean, were you brought up religious?
Yeah.
Did that go against, was your drinking, did it go against that?
Kind of, but not in the sense like, you know, if you're drinking, you're sinning.
Mm.
Like, I was about to go on another tangent. That is my ADHD, by the way.
That's all right, go where you want.
Because I'll come to that later. But like, when I grew up, nobody in my family used to even drink alcohol.
Mm.
Like, I know my dad used to, like, before, like, my mom and dad settled down, he used to. But it was just a conversation that he had with my mom once. My mom was like, well, we have a family now. Is there a point to drinking or anything? I don't like it. And my dad was like, fine. I don't, you know, it's not a thing that I need to drink and everything. And that's like a cultural thing as well, is in the sense, like, we drink, but it's more prominent over here in the sense, like, if we go out, we drink. But in India, it's just like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it's...
Yeah, right.
And I didn't grow up with that. I did grow up religious, but it was like the thing that, you know, if you drink, alcohol is a bad thing.
Mm.
But it wasn't like, if you drink, you will go
You're
to hell.
Cast out.
Wasn't,
and then...
Yeah. It wasn't like that. And then, yeah, and people kind of mistake this with, like, because a lot of times people ask me, it's like, oh, are you a Hindu? And I was like, yeah, I was raised as a Hindu. And they're like, oh, you must not eat meat or you must not drink alcohol. And I was like, that is a misconception. Because we have, like, if you go to, like, the east of India, like Bengal, West Bengal, now, there are, like, deities, like gods and goddesses, that if you worship them, you offer them like fish.
Right.
Like the priests would like offer them fishes. And there are other gods where if you go outside the temple, the what's the term? The worshippers. They offer whiskey.
Oh, really?
And you sit outside. There are people just sitting outside with like bottles and funnels, because then you just, you know, offer a bit to it, and then everything else comes out to the worshippers, and they get whiskeys. Like,
it's so one big sesh.
Basically, literally, that's literally how it happens. Like, you're sitting outside, and it's not like Hinduism promotes alcoholism. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it's a part of, you know, the religion or the culture. Mm. But that's not something that I grew up with.
Right.
Which was, again, when I came to this country, a part of the culture shift that I experienced was, you know, like people at work would be like, every Thursday, you know, just go out for a pint or everything. With someone like me, the kind of environment I grew up in, I wasn't acclimatized to. Like, when we used to drink, A, we used to hide it from folks. And B, it'd be like maybe a New Year's thing or if somebody's, you know, birthday.
Right.
We wouldn't be like, oh yeah, it's Thursday, let's just go out for a quick pint.
Yeah, right. So are there bars and things around that you can go to?
Yeah. But it's not, again, as prominent as, you know, in Europe or like North America, the Western world.
Mm. But you do have places where you can go and get a drink if you wish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, loads of them. Especially now. but yeah, it was never that. It wasn't a part of my upbringing.
No.
And also, like, when I was growing up, it wasn't a cultural thing. Like, people drank, people socialized, but it wasn't like, oh, there's a bar down the road, let's get pissed.
Yeah, right. I tell you what, I'm trying to cut back, because I've been drinking too much. I don't drink at home. But yeah. Because I'm always out and someone goes, oh, do you want a pint? I go, yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to upset anyone, I'll go, yeah, go on then. And even when I've gone, right, today I'm not drinking. And then I'll go out and someone goes, do you want a pint? I go, yeah, go on then. I'm going to become an alcoholic because I'm too nice to say no.
that's how it happens. If you're too nice, that's how I picked up crack cocaine. It was just like, I couldn't turn down people.
I just don't want to upset anybody.
But it's the thing. Like, there was a point where I realized that, oh, this is now getting out of hand. How do I keep a check? And then I, like you said, you know, you don't drink at home.
Mm.
I also made a rule for myself, which was like, I never drink by myself.
Right.
It's just a simple thing. Like, yeah. I never drink by myself. But when I was in like the bad state of mind, then I was just like, I just go to a bar and be like, oh, bartender, sir, you're going to be my new friend. Let's drink together.
At least you're not on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I started comedy, the first 3 months, I put this for me. It's like, if I'm doing comedy, I'm not going to be drinking.
Mm.
So the first 3 months of me doing, when I started doing like comedy, I didn't drink a single sip of alcohol.
Right.
It was just to keep myself away from all those things. It was just, basically what happened was, I was dating this girl. She was fucking amazing, fucking phenomenal. And we were clicking together. But then she picked up on that as well. It's like, every time we went out and everything, we were just, like, you know, drinking. And just, I was over-indulging a bit.
Right.
And I still to this day remember her words, and she was like, we're both going to be 30 soon, you know? And I want to be with someone who's like, you're lively and everything, but someone who's a tad bit responsible.
Right.
And she's like, if I want to date someone who just goes out and gets pissed every time, I just go back to university. And that kind of like struck a note. Because it was like an intervention, but there was nothing wrong with what she said.
No.
It's just like, and that's when I was like, I gave myself a weekend. And I was like, what outside of drinking do I really want to do? And I've always wanted to do. And stand-up comedy was one of those things. And I was like, I'm in London. You know, yeah. I used to play music back home, and I always wanted like open mic music nights.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm pretty sure there's open mic comedy nights. So that's basically the switch.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, it's funny because it used to be, you know, back in the 90s or whenever it was when stand up comedy really blew up. You know, like alternative comedy, and they were still, you know, I hear the stories of some of them getting, you know, lines of coke and. Pissed and doing the, and still doing the gigs and
but then could you give me the names?
No names, Ashish. No names. But before that, I mean, I was working with Ted Robbins the other day, and Ted Robbins was big like back in the early in the 80s. His niece is now Emily Atack. That's his niece.
Oh, okay.
And so, but him and his sister Ted Robbins and Kate Robbins were big way back. And I did a gig with him the other day, and he was telling me all these stories. You know, he was telling me about Les Dawson and Bob Monkhouse and all these great people. And he's telling me all these stories, and they were all drunk. It's just, but I was like, wow. He went, yeah, they, what happened was they'd either take up golf or they'd take up drinking, and there was that, and that was it. And I was all these, like Bob Monkhouse, he was telling me how much booze he used to do before a gig. Jesus Christ, I'd be in a coma.
I the thing is, like, I'm not a functional alcoholic.
No.
I did throughout, like, and since I started doing back in the day. Okay. I've not been doing it for long, but like throughout my short comedy life existence, I think I've only done two gigs where I went on stage with like alcohol. I that's another one. I think because I'm OCD as well.
All right.
So I think I can, like, if I can place rules on myself, it kind of sometimes makes it easier. Like, I've got a rule now that I don't like drink before I go on stage. As simple as that. Not a single sip of alcohol.
Nothing.
No. And I was just like, you know, if I'm doing three gigs in a day or two gigs in a day, I'll be like, I'm not going to sip alcohol till I'm done with the last one.
Right. So do you still drink?
At the moment, I've not had alcohol for like the last 2 months.
Right. That's good, man.
I mean, holiday season is coming up probably.
Oh, God. Oh, no. This is a terrible time for me to go, I'm going to cut back.
But it's going to make you strong, Rich.
It's going to make me round. I don't know about anything else. But do you find that drinking helps with your OCD and your ADHD, or doesn't really affect either or?
It definitely didn't help with it.
No.
So it didn't. It was the other way around. And it was also like, I didn't really get diagnosed or get it picked up like until like, It's more of a recent thing, like before comedy, obviously. Mm. Obviously, like, yeah. I did figure it out later. And once you get to know all these things, you can see like how it's going the bad way. Like, I'm more comfortable drinking spirits. Like, whiskey is my poison of choice.
Right.
Like, I enjoy whiskey. But then in my OCD head, it was also like, if I go out on a date and I was like, oh, the last time we met, you know, we had whiskey and it was a good date. So I was like, I have to drink whiskey this time as well. It's like those really tiny, minor, stupid things.
But
when it adds up, it's just like, it's not, for me, it wasn't good.
No.
I know a lot of people who can keep a check on it, which is fucking amazing for them. And I'm kind of envious. But it's, and there was a point where I was becoming, not like intentionally, but I was becoming like a bit toxic person.
Right.
But it wasn't just for me. If it was just affecting me, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But once it starts, you know, affecting people around you, you have to be like, no, I need to.
I know what you mean. I get a bit too boisterous sometimes and I have to be told to calm down. So I'm having such a good time. But people go, oh, whoa, take it down a few.
we definitely have to go out for a drink because I'm a happy drunk as well. Like, I'm the kind of guy, like, once I'm drunk, I'm just like, if I'm drinking, you're drinking. Shots for everyone.
now that's the difference. I can't do shots. That's when the wheels come off, because every single time I've ended up doing shots, it doesn't end well. I always wake up and just like, I'll wake up in the morning, but like still dressed, and you go, oh, well, okay, all right, well, let's, what happened? No, well, at least I didn't have something to eat. And then you go, oh, no, I did. I had six kebabs. And then you go, well, at least I didn't upset anybody. You go, oh, fuck. And then you remember the face. You don't remember what you said. You just remember the face of the person that you go, oh, God. Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah, I've said something. What have I said? And then you go through your messages. You're like, oh, my God. I've gone from declaring undying love. Oh, yeah, me and you forever, baby. And then fucking... And then,
wrong number, who this?
Yeah. Just throw your phone away.
It's happened. And that's the thing. It was just like, I think I'm more comfortable, like, being able to enjoy it now.
Mm.
Like, I know I can keep a check. And my friends are basically like, look, you behave like a drunk in general. I don't think you need alcohol.
Everyone always thinks you're pissed anyway.
Well, I mean, look at my face. Like, the number of times I'm at the bus stop and random, you know, Mercedes or BMW stops in and the guy's like, hey, bro, do you want some weed? I was like, bro, no, I don't. I look like it.
You look super chilled. That's what it is. You just look super chilled.
See, okay, now I know you're being nice.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. Every time I see you, it's like, yeah, that's super chilled. Yeah, whatever.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
whatever.
You.
Yeah, no, it's good.
And that is what I'm going for.
Say what you like about it, she's being super chilled.
Inside, I'm just like, fuck, yeah. I'm done now.
That's like everybody. That's like me. Everyone goes, you're so relaxed. I'm like, I am inside. I am a bag of turmoil. I am just... That's going on inside. Oh, fucking hell. Why am I alive?
People don't realize it. Like, you know, even nowadays, if you mention stuff like, you know, social anxiety or like anxiety disorders, sometimes people get a bit iffy. And it's like, no, I'm just stressed out. And I was like, that is a form of anxiety. And the world we live in, and this isn't made of statistics, but I'm so sure of myself. I think 90% of the people suffer from some form of, you know, an anxiety disorder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's they keep kind of run away from it. Like, I have conversations with people who are like, they're stressed out. And I'd be like, have you thought about talking to someone? And they'd get like, sometimes they get offended. It's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I'm just saying that, you know, I've been through this.
Yeah.
I'm not being like, I know everything about it, but I'm just like, maybe it would help.
Well, this is, go on.
No, sorry. I think James Acaster, he mentioned this on one of his podcasts as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for it to be like, you know, really bad to then seek help or like try it out, which I think is spot on.
Yeah. I think it's like you've said. I think because the world is, it feels like it's in such a crisis at the minute, and the people that are in charge that we've put in charge. Oh, we haven't all voted for them, but the people that are in charge don't seem to be able. They seem to just making it worse. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
we don't have any leaders. No, this is what we need. We need people to go right. This is what we're doing for the good of everybody in the world. This is what we're doing. They're kind of, it's like there's a dam and there's all these leaks in the dam and they're just putting their fingers in the holes. You're going, we're going to do that. And then more holes appear and they haven't got enough fingers.
with the leaders we have, they're probably plugging the holes with their dicks. But...
yeah, their dicks, other people's dicks.
But I do understand. I think people are going, like, it sounds so cheesy to say this every time. But I think society as a whole is heading in the right direction. Just the pace is really slow.
Right. Yeah.
Really slow. Like, you can see there's a turn around the corner. But then if you look at it, it's just like it's 5 minutes away. But the pace where we're going at, it's probably going to take at least 2 hours.
Yeah. I know. Yes. It's funny. I'm glad you said that. Because I catastrophize all the time. I've realized that. I had some counseling for the last couple of months. So I've just had that. And I was talking about that. I do. I always go to the most extreme in any situation. I'm like, well, that'll probably happen. Like, the worst case scenario is going to happen. And then I read something the other day, they were going, the world has been through however many mass extinctions before. We are now currently in a new one. And I'm like, fucking hell, all right. Well, I'm not paying my credit card off then, fuck it.
But it's a good thing though, like, because my dad always tells me, like every time, like I'd have like a big gig or something, and I'd be like, crap, I don't want to die on stage and stuff like that. And I love my folks, but like the kind of realism they've been throwing at me since I was a kid. Like, I remember I used to go for like exams and stuff, and I'd be like, shitting myself. And my dad's like, have you studied for this? And I think, I have studied. And he'd be like, then do your best and expect the worst. I was like, how is that going to help with my anxiety? Like, I'd write the right answer down. I'd be like, this is probably the wrong answer. I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
But that, it in hindsight, that is kind of a good, like, at least for me, it's worked. Because then, you know, I'm just out there doing what I need to, and then be like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I don't know.
Well, I'm the same. Yeah. I always, I in my head sometimes, I go, it doesn't matter which decision I make or which fork I take.
Yeah.
It's going to be the wrong one. I always take the wrong one.
Oh yeah, I've stopped following my gut. Like,
oh really?
I was just like, I just called someone. I was like, A or B. It's like, what are you talking about? It's just like, pick one. And then that happens. And if something fucks up, it's like, I call them back in like 3 months. Yeah, you shouldn't have picked B.
Yeah. I'm getting good at saying no now. I do. Whereas before, I'd go, yeah, all right then, because I wanted to please that person. I am better at going, I don't think I'm the person for that job, but I do know someone that might be. And so I push them in that direction. Whereas before, I'd just go, oh, yeah, all right then, and end up in so much trouble all the time.
It's so hard, though. Like, I'm of the same. Like, would you classify yourself as an empath?
Yes.
And I would like to think I'm an empath, but like an evil one. Like, I try to be nice, but sometimes deep down inside, it's just like, maybe I shouldn't help them.
Right.
But like, I agree with you. It's so hard to say no.
Yeah.
And that gets you into situations. Like when I started doing comedy, but one of the main reasons was like, I didn't have a social circle, like none whatsoever. Because I finished my master's, and by the time I graduated, I started dating someone. And so I just let go of all my friends because like, oh, they've got friends and their friends are my friends, you know?
Yeah.
And then when you break up, all the friends just go. It's yes. Like, you know, they've taken the kids out of the divorce. So
Yeah.
I was literally on dating apps trying to make friends.
Oh wow!
And it was and then when I got into comedy, it was just like build up a social circle and everything.
Yeah.
But then there's also this, you know, this fear of missing out and everything. Mm. Where I'd be like, I know I need to be home in the next hour if I can get some food in, a decent amount of sleep in. But then there'd be someone who's just like, why don't you stick around? And I'd be like, I can because I'm not drinking, so it's not, you know. I'm just going to be sleep deprived. I'm not going to be hungover.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. There is that I've talked about this before. When we had the lockdowns, one of the problems was that we lost our little universe, all our little people. Yeah. We lost that, not necessarily the gigs, but we just lost that seeing each other and being around each other. Yeah. And that kind of silent understanding that we're all a bit strange because of what we've chosen to do.
Yeah.
But we kind of understood each other and we were like, yes, this is our people. This is us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we lost that.
But whatever happened was not a good thing.
No.
But I think at least, again, I say everything from my perspective. So it's like, if I sound a bit like a narcissist, I was like, maybe I am. But for me, at least, it helped me, you know, figure out like where my friends are and people who I can have like a healthy conversation and a healthy relationship with. because that kind of makes a lot of difference as well. Because there's this term called like the energy vampires. I think that's what they call
them. Yeah. Social vampires. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like there's a lot of those as well.
Yes.
And a lot of times you just don't realize because it's really hard to differentiate between if it's a good thing or if you just have a bad habit.
Mm.
That seems like a good thing. And the whole, you know, being by yourself and lockdown and everything. I, for some of the people that I was, you know, being like talking to and like who I thought were within my like circle, I just realized it's like it was more of a habit kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing to, you know, let go of stuff. It's really hard.
Yeah. But sometimes sometimes there are, yes. And that's one thing I learned from this is there are some people in your life that it's just bad chemistry between you. It's not, and you know, friendship. I've got friendships now that are so effortless that I just, every time I see that person, you don't have to pretend to be something you're not. There's no kind of, you don't have to do it. You just happen to be friends and you're having a nice time.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Basically, I was like, I have friends. They're like, you're a dickhead. I was like, but I'm your dickhead. And I was like, that is a stupid thing to say. But we get it. And it's also like, you know, people who help you improve. I don't want to be around people who are just like, this is a sheesh. He's an idiot. But you know, you get what you deal. And I want to be around someone who's just like, this is a she's, he's an idiot, but he's a work in progress.
But that's it, isn't it? We all are.
Yeah.
Because of course there are people in my life, or have been in my life, that think I'm a fucking idiot and would rather not be around me because it's just that's just what how the chemistry was. We're just human beings and we, you know, you're friends to some people, you're enemies to others, and you just that's how it is. It's just
that's fine.
Yeah, and that's how it, you know, enemies is a bit strong. That might be a bit. Mind you,
I've got a few enemies. One of these, like you just scroll up, like what? Those are the hit list.
Or the promoters that have wronged you.
Basically, it's just like, you didn't reply to my email.
Right, you're on the list, brother. Fuck you.
The number of open mic nights I've been banned from, just for the most stupidest reasons.
What?
There was one gig I was blacklisted from because I showed up late and I didn't email. I messaged them on Facebook or something.
Right.
And they didn't see my message. And they were really annoyed. And I was at my leaving due. So I was like...
Right, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be late. And they're like, you show up late. And the thing I did wrong was I showed up with the thought process that I'd sent a message, they probably read it.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was like, oh, hey, man, when am I on?
Wow. And they hadn't seen the message. And they just thought you were an arrogant piece of shit.
Yeah. I was just like... What I should have done was like, oh, I'm a bit late. My apologies. Can you still put me on?
Yeah, but you didn't know. It's just a breakdown in communication. But to blacklist you from the gig seems a bit harsh. Fuck them.
It's fine. Yeah. I learned my lesson. I always email now.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. It's a funny old one. I don't know. Yeah, there's a gig that I can't do because someone was emailing on my behalf and they got the name wrong of the promoter. And so the beginning of his reply was, firstly, that's not my name. And this is all under my name. They don't realise it's someone else emailing for me.
Yeah.
First rule of comedy is to get the promoter's name right. Like, I didn't even bother reading the rest.
You're not going to book me again, I know.
There's no point in reading this. Just delete. Move on.
Have you ever blacklisted yourself from a gig? Like banned yourself?
There are gigs that I haven't done because I've heard different things from different sources about the promoter, and I've gone, no, I'm not doing that gig. I'd rather just not do the gig.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I'm of the, like, I've got gigs like those, but then they're also good. I did a gig once where my name is Ashish, and I understand it's not like a common local name, so people are bound to mess it up. This one time I got introduced as Aladdin.
Aladdin? Did you say Aladdin?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
it's not even a real country, man.
Oh my god. I wouldn't even mind, but that's not, I've never met someone called Aladdin. That's not even like, and there's loads of them.
I was like, I get that's the name. I mean, to be honest, my name and Aladdin has the same vowels. So I can understand how you like same number of letters, same vowels. Like, yeah, sure.
But, it's because you turned up on a carpet. That's what threw him.
Oh, basically, that was the thing.
You will do
I didn't have a beanie. I had like...
Here he comes with his lamp.
Fucking Aladdin. Oh god.
I was like, yeah, it was a good gig. I enjoyed it.
Was it magical?
It was a miracle.
Did you share them the world?
I did. I had to stop when the tiger walked in, but
no pets. Oh fuck.
This is not done.
No. Hey, come on, man. Is that a guide tiger?
No, it was a therapy tiger.
I can't go anywhere without my tiger.
He's just like, you annoy me, it'll bite you.
Oh my god. What a brilliant way to finish. Jesus Christ. Where can we find you online, Ashish?
Instagram, at Scientist Suri. I've been on Twitter for 2 months.
Oh yeah,
fucking amazing. I've got 29 followers.
Yes, mate, smashing it.
And only 19 of them are comedians. So I was like, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Twitter's the same, at Scientist Suri. I am setting up a website.
Okay.
So it's a work in progress, but I'll plug it out because, you know, 2 months down the line, you're going to love that shit.
It's good to be ahead of the curve.
Basically, I was just like, this is me being clairvoyant. The website is the same, at scientistsuri.com and also shesuri.com. But yeah. Fantastic. And also, you know, just if you see me on the streets, talk to me. I don't mind. Just don't try to sell me weed. That's kind of...
And don't touch his tiger.
Yeah, basically. Stay away from my pets. That sounds like such a bad euphemism now.
Don't stroke his tiger.
Don't stroke my tiger.
Sheesh. Thanks, man. This has been great.
A pleasure's been all mine. I can't say this enough.
You know,
4 years ago, I was sitting in the audience. And to be able to have this conversation with you now, it's like a really big thing. So thank you so much for having me.
Made my day, man. Thank you very much. Love you.
Play it up. I love you.
Love you.
Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.